Well, happy Friday evening, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. If you're listening to us live right now, would you please click the follow button so my boss knows I'm doing my job? This is our last Friday in Women Writers Month in honor of Women's History Month. We have three more shows to go to meet some fabulous writers, women writers. But tonight, I'm particularly happy because most of you know I'm not, I'm a little afraid of horror, but Janice Gable Bashman has been on my radar for a long time. I'm not sure if it's because we have so many mutual friends. I'm not sure if it's because we both love ITW, the International Thriller Writers. But anyway, I am very happy that she's with me. She is a Bram Stoker, a nominated author of Predator, which was came out a year and a half ago, I believe it is. She also wrote Wanted, Undead or Alive, which with best-selling author Jonathan Mabry. She's the editor of The Big Thrill magazine and has written for leading publications including Novel and Short Story Writers Market, Writer's Digest, The Writer, and Wild River Review. Her short fiction has appeared in various anthologies and magazines. She's a member of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, Horror Writers Association, Mystery Writers of America, and the ITW, where she serves on the board of directors, by the way, as vice president of technology. Another thing we don't have in common, as you well know, I am the tech twit of all times. Yes, the technical things come to die in my own personal Bermuda Triangle. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show for the first time, and I hope not the last, author Janice Gable Bashman. Janice, good evening, and welcome to Authors on the Air.
Hi, Pam. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for being with us. Let me ask you, you live in which part of the country?
Yeah.
And how's your weather?
It's it went up to 70 today, so it was kind of nice.
Good.
Yeah, I can't complain. It was a little overcast, though, but I like the warm weather, so I'm not complaining at all.
Oh, well, live my life in Southwest Florida during the summer and you'll quickly change your mind. It's not that much fun.
That's true.
but we're not in Denver. We're not in Denver where the snow is so high they can't even see themselves there. So I am very fascinated by the fact that not only do you write horror stories for adults, but you write for teens, which is, I imagine is a very different way of writing than for adults, or is it?
I don't think of it in a different way when I'm writing it. It's more that my protagonist is a teenager, but I still write the same type of story. In that, whatever the story is, I'm not like gearing it for a teenager. But I do have to pay attention to how teens think and how they feel and the issues that they face when I'm writing a novel for a teenager versus a novel for an adult. And you have to kind of hone in on what those feelings were and what life was like back when you were a teenager. When I was a teenager, but what teens are like today, which is even more important because those are the ones that are reading the book. Now, Predator, fortunately, has crossed over into the adult market as well, so I have both teens and adults reading it, which means that I've done, you know, my job pretty well in that, you know, it's appealing to all ages, which is great.
Well, talk about having to know what teens are thinking nowadays. That's a real Bermuda Triangle too, isn't it? Because teens of your generation and my generation, and I'm sure they're different, were very different than the teens of today. Some of them are a lot savvier. Well, I know they are a lot savvier in the world around them with their personal and interpersonal relationships. The language is very different. Their vernacular and their slang is so different. How do you tap into what is going on with teens in this modern day?
Well, I think it's just a matter of listening when you're out and about in the world. So if I'm in a coffee shop or I'm at the bookstore or I recently, my son's in college, so I had a teenager recently in the house, listening to what's going on in their lives, just how they talk to each other, how they act when you're out and about, and just seeing people when you're in the mall or whatever, you can observe pretty well how they are. And just listening to your friends talk about their teenagers and what they're like and what they're going through, just when they talk in terms of basically what's going on in their lives. It's, you know, teens today are very much more savvy and tied into the world as a whole than we were because of technology. And
yes.
In a sense, they're more grown up, I think, in that respect, because they know
yes.
so much more. And they can get information instantly whenever they want it. And that's something that, you know, we need to take into consideration. So you can't write a novel for a teenager and treat them as if they're ignorant. They're not. They're very, you know, brilliant people, and they have a lot of information, and you have to treat them as such. So I basically write as if they're adults. But, go ahead.
That's pretty interesting. The horror films of my day were the slasher films and everything, and I think those are still pretty popular. I don't know. I haven't been to a film in a long time, and I don't follow what's out there. But that is not the type of story you write, if I'm to understand it.
That's correct. My stories, although they have horror elements in them, like Predator has werewolves and super soldiers and genetic manipulation and bog bodies in there, it also has mythology, and it's written like a suspense thriller novel. So there's not a lot of gore and blood and that type of stuff. It's a suspense thriller that has elements of horror in it. And that's what I like. I don't like that blood and guts stuff. A lot of people love it, but for me, it gives me nightmares. I don't even watch horror movies or read horror novels if I can help it, because quite honestly, they keep me up at night. But I can write a horror short story, or, you know, and I have published some horror short stories for adults, and they're pure horror, and, but they're coming out of my own head, so they don't scare me, if that makes sense.
It does. How was your interest in writing horror peaked? Where did this come from?
Well, I kind of fell into it backwards. Jonathan Maybury had asked me to co-write Wanted, Undead, or Alive with him. And that was a book about good versus evil in pop culture and in real life. So it was movies, books, comics, pop culture, and then like things like real life heroes and mythological heroes and heroes in films like, you know, Luke Skywalker and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right.
And it was about FBI
sure.
profilers and ghost hunters. And so when I wrote that book, as a result of that, and then that was nominated for Stoker Award, I started getting asked to write short fiction for horror anthologies. And so I did, and I found it interesting, and I was doing this because editors were coming to me asking me to do that. And then because I'd written that book, I'd been researching the Benedani, which are a mythological group of werewolves who were the only good werewolves in mythology, and they descended into hell to fight evil, according to the myth. And I thought that was kind of fascinating that we only have this one group of you know, good werewolves. And so I took that myth and put a new twist on it and used that as the basis for Predator. So that's kind of how that moved into the next novel.
Fascinating. And so Predator, which is what you said started off as a teen novel, actually crossed over to the adult market. And that's amazing because while I'm not adverse to reading a young adult, new adult book, say if I'm in the market to find a romance writer, it's not something I pick up first. I will say that. Are you having fun as a horror writer?
Say that one more time.
Are you having fun as a horror writer?
As a horror writer, I enjoy writing everything that I write. Again, I look at more of a suspense thriller type writer. And that's kind of like what I do, but it has elements of horror in it. But I enjoy writing whatever I'm writing, even if it's a nonfiction article. I write, you know, for magazines and things like that. I enjoy it. I just enjoy all the different types of writing, whatever I'm doing.
How
I just really
fun.
Haven't found a thing that I don't enjoy writing so far. I've written
How
in the past,
fun.
You know, technical manual for somebody. It doesn't bother me. I enjoy it. So,
really?
Yeah. I mean, I mostly, the thing I most love doing, you know, more than anything else is writing novels. But I do enjoy writing short fiction. I enjoy writing nonfiction articles. I enjoy editing other people's work as well as my own. You know, it just gives me pleasure. I just really enjoy it all.
How long have you been writing, Janice?
I've written all my life, but I never thought I was a good writer. And when I was in high school, I kept submitting to like our literary magazine in my high school, and I kept getting my work rejected, and everybody else in my club or whatever it was getting their work accepted. And so I thought that meant that I was a bad writer. And I found out years later when I ran into the teacher that it was really that I wasn't handing in my best work, and I wasn't editing at the time and things like that. But in my mind, I twisted it around. She was just trying to encourage me to do better. And I twisted it around into the words, I suck. And so I didn't try to publish anything for a very, very long time. And then about 6 years ago or so, or possibly seven, I decided I still really wanted to write. And so I decided that I was just going to try and do it. And if I could do it, I would. And if I couldn't, at least I tried. And I published 150 nonfiction articles, and then a couple books, and then short stories, and then this novel, and I'm working on another one. So in that short period of time, I really did well and had a lot of success. And so I continued doing what I'm doing.
How fun is that? Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you make a lot of school visits, don't you? Which I think is fascinating. Tell me about going to schools and what ages of the children are you speaking to?
When I go to talk about Predator itself and writing, I speak to mainly 8th grade through 12th grade. So sometimes I'm at a middle school, sometimes I'm at a high school. And I'll talk about the writing process. I'll talk about how what the process is to get a book written and published. My process. I'll talk about my book a little bit. I'll talk about the science behind the fact behind the fiction in my novel, which is science. But I also have recently been going into elementary schools, though, as part of Writers' Days, and that's where writers are. Where I live, these have been going on for many years, but I just became aware of them recently and was asked to participate, where we're going into elementary schools. And so I'm doing writing workshops with elementary school students. So I guess it was last week or the week before, I was talking to 5th grade students, but I was actually doing a workshop with them where they were writing for the entire period, and we were doing stuff together. And by the time we were finished, they had almost an entire short story of their own based on a premise that I provided, yet everybody's story was totally different, and they had fun sharing and things like that. So
tell me a little bit more. Elaborate on that visit with your 5th graders. That must have been fascinating, seeing those children create, because children are uninhibited in their creating, aren't they?
And that's it. They come up with so many great ideas so quickly. It's fascinating because I can sit at my desk struggling to come up with an idea of where something might need to go or what I want to do, and the kids can spout off 30 or 40 ideas in a matter of minutes, and they're all different from each other. And so it's really neat when you see that, and they're willing to yell them out and raise their hands or whatever you know, instructions I give them, but and just participate in it. They don't hesitate to say what they think, and they're not worried about what their peers are going to say at that age, and they just really have fun with it. So, and I do a little bit of a crazy story, so they have more fun with it because it's not, you know, all that serious. So,
well, share
the teachers
with us
like
what
it because we're coming out with something.
Sure. So share with us what your premise was for this most recent visit and some of the feedback that you got from the kids.
Well, it was just the idea that a kid had wished. Well, I don't want to really give it away because, you know, on the air because I'm still using it.
Okay.
It was like a crazy idea where a child wished for something and his greatest wish came true, but it turned out to be a disaster and what he has to do to get back to what he really wants. So it involves some crazy things where he gets trapped in a place and you know, they have to figure out how he's going to get out and get to where he is. But once he does, now there's another problem because he is injured along the way and how is he going to do what he needs to do next, you know, kind of stuff.
Do kids know how to answer those questions and create, do you think, because they play video games?
I think it's because they're smart. Kids know more than they think they know, and kids know how to problem solve. Mm-hmm. And I think if you give them guidelines and tell them not where it needs to go, but here's what we already have, how many different ways can this go, they can come up with a whole bunch of different ways and they can figure things out. And because I tell them that there's no right or wrong answer, there's no pressure on them to come up with the right answer. And so then their creativity goes crazy and they have a really good time with it. You know, if they were told there's only one way to get there, it would be different.
You know, if I had had a teacher like you when I was in school, I probably would have stuck with journalism and writing, which were my majors, and quickly found out that I wanted to write for a newspaper, and I found out that it was boring and they got paid terrible. So I switched to medicine, to the paramedical. I did physical therapy instead. Wonderful. Who are some of your literary influences, do you think, and who do you really like reading?
Okay. Well, when I was young, and I'm talking about very young, I loved reading the Encyclopedia Brown books. They were books where you had, it was almost like a two-minute mystery. It was like three or four pages of a mystery, and then you would turn to the back, and the answer to who did it was in the back. But they were really short and sweet, and I loved those when I was a kid, as well as like Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys and that type of stuff.
Sure.
And that's the kind of stuff I really like to read, as well as like Judy Blume and those kinds of books. As I got older, things obviously changed. Today I read a lot of thrillers. That's kind of where my heart lies. But I also read a lot of young adult novels. I love Jandy Nelson's The Sky Is Everywhere.
Oh, gosh, she's wonderful, isn't she? Yes.
Yeah, that book is just, it just stands out to me above all else in the last 5 to 6, 7 years of anything that I've read. But John Green's books are phenomenal. I just finished The Walls Between Us. I believe it just actually came out in paperback this week, but I had it sitting on my shelf to read. I think that's the title. But there's just so many great authors out there. But I try to read widely. So I'll read thrillers, but I'll also read some mysteries. I'll read nonfiction. I'll read, some women's fiction. So I try to read in different genres so that I, A, don't get bored, and B, really get a feel for what's going on out there and what people are enjoying and what they like to read.
Which thrillers do you like? Who do you like to read?
Oh, there's
you
so
must
many,
have a
but,
favorite. You must have a favorite 10 or something.
Sure, but some of the top ones are Harlan Coben, Lee Child, David Morrell. I like James Rollins. Will read, let me think who else I read. I mean, I just read so many people. I used to read every Clive Cussler book that came out. I'm trying to think who else. I love Lisa Gardner. I could go on and on all night.
Yeah.
But there's just so many great thriller writers.
Professor Morrell is one of the nicest people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting in person several times, and he's been quite a few times on the show. He's a fascinating guy, isn't he?
Yes, and he's brilliant.
I love him.
And,
he is.
Yeah.
He is. Do you know he wrote a book about Frank Sinatra? Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
We actually did a show about that. It was really fascinating. And the professor, you know, I've always called him Professor Morrell, but he sang on the show. It's really interesting. So my next question to you is, will you try a thriller, a straight thriller, without the paranormal or supernatural or horror elements of it?
Oh, yeah. I'm not tied into writing any of those elements. As I said, it just kind of came naturally out of what I was doing. But I absolutely, I'm not looking to stay necessarily there in that genre with horror stuff in it. I just like to write thrillers and suspense, and I like to mix it together. And that's kind of where my passion lies. And even my short fiction is written that way. It's just what I love to do, and that's what I read, and that's kind of where I've always been. So, absolutely.
Wow. You are a writer through and through. Janice, tell me a little bit about when you sit down to write, do you dedicate time every day when you're working on a project, or Do you go by word count? I mean, what is your process like? Are you in a quiet space? Do you need background, ambient sound, burn a candle, you know, call up the gods or anything like that? You know, because it's different for everybody, you know.
Absolutely. So when I'm writing a first draft, I need quiet. Normally, Predator, I wrote right on the computer, my first draft. The book I'm working on now, I wrote by hand and typed into the computer every night and then edited it every morning. No, that's not the way I normally write. I normally write a first draft from beginning to end and then go back and edit. And I normally type right on the computer. But the book I'm working on now, for some reason, begged me to do it differently, so that's what I did. But in any event, I write better in the morning creatively, so I tend to write right after breakfast and through lunch if I can for my fiction. And then if I'm able to in the afternoon, I'll get some more work on that done. But if not, I'll do some editing on some other things because then my analytical mind might, you know, it's easier to work
it's
on that
done.
In the afternoon.
Sure,
But
sure.
On Wednesdays, I meet up with about anywhere from 5 to 7 of my friends who are also writers. And we all meet at our local Wegmans Cafe with our laptops, and we stay there all day, and we all work on our own projects, but we're sitting with each other, and we stop over lunch and to talk, and we catch up briefly, and then if anybody needs help with something, we'll help each other out. So I get out of my, as I call it, my bat cave, to go be social, but I'm actually working someplace else. So that's kind of my routine.
How fun. Do you outline?
I outline extensively. Absolutely, I am. Now, that my book doesn't always adhere to that outline, but I outline
right.
very much.
And I would imagine that you are a crazed woman about research.
The fact behind my fiction has to be real. So for Predator, somebody injects themselves with an untested version of gene therapy. My protagonist does this, of her dad's gene therapy, and it has lycanthrope gene in it, along with some other stuff that he's concocted to create these super soldiers, and it's an untested version, and I wanted to know how it could go horribly wrong, but also how it would work right. So I found an American who works at the Max Planck Institute in Germany, and he's the guy who several years ago discovered the Neanderthal DNA, and I got in touch with him and asked him to help me out, and he helped me figure out how the science behind the fiction could be real and how it could go horribly wrong. In the book, somebody's blowing up a car. My protagonist is blowing up a car, and she needs to know how to do it using what she has. I had to get, somebody help me figure that out. I don't want somebody to put down my book because the science or the facts that are presented in there are not
impossible.
Believable.
Right.
And then they say, well, this is impossible. I'm going to put this book down because this is stupid. I don't want to give them any reason to do that. So I always find out, you know, the facts that I need to know before I do that, so that it's plausible, it makes sense, it's realistic. That doesn't mean I get them 100% right all the time. I do my best, and I ask people, the experts who help me, to read over the material when I'm finished to make sure it makes sense to them. But again, there could be mistakes there, but, you know, I do my best not to, because you don't want readers to stop and think about that stuff. You want it to feel real.
Interesting. John Stanford was on this show, and he said that he always wanted to write science fiction, but he could never, you know, I'm going to use this as an example because I don't, you know, I'm not real good on science fiction, even though I love it. He said he couldn't visualize something like warp drive because it's not in reality now. So he wanted to do his science fiction book based on things that could happen with the technology that's available today. It's really interesting. And so he partnered with a guy who was very, very, very well known in those genres, in, you know, the futuristic genres and all. And he researched all the science. So I understand exactly what you're saying, and I'm fascinated by it. I would imagine if you love to write even technical things, that you would be very good at doing your research. Fabulous. What horror writers do you admire?
Well, there's a lot of great horror writers, but they scare the pants off of me. So, I you know, like Stephen King, for example, I can't read his horror because if I try to, he scares me. I can read his other books, though.
I can read his books, but not the horror. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
But he does write other books that I do read, but not the real heavy horror because he does, you know, scare me. And that's because he's really good at what he does. And there's other people out there like that, John Sanford and people like that. They'll scare me, so I can't read it too much. But sometimes I can if I'm reading, you know, in the afternoon or something. But, yeah, there's a lot of great horror writers out there. It's a matter of that I, you know, which ones do you like and which ones can you relate to, and what you really like. What type of horror do you like? Do you like psychological horror? Do you like visceral horror? There's, you know, you have to look and break those things down when you're looking to see what you like to read. But for me, it's I try to these days stay away from it, to be honest.
So funny. I need to take a moment to remind everyone that this is a trademark copyrighted podcast solely owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. I am speaking to the delightful Janice Gable Bashman, who was a Bram Stoker nominee for Predator. And she writes for both teens and adults. I'm opening up the phone lines if you'd like to say hi to Janice or you have a comment about horror and supernatural and paranormal and all those myths, legends. We're glad to talk about that. The number is 347-633-9609. And the first caller, I'm going to gift you a copy of Predator. Janice, what do you want to write next?
Before I even answer that, I'm just going to correct one thing. I was nominated for the Bram Stoker Award for Wanted, Undead, or Alive. So,
Sorry.
I made the preliminary ballot for Predator. That's okay. I just wanted to correct it. So just I made the preliminary ballot for Predator.
I have to put on I have to put on my glasses when I'm reading my text. I apologize for that.
I just didn't want somebody else to, you know, whatever. So what am I writing next? I'm working on another young adult novel now. It involves it's another thriller suspense type novel, and I'm actually editing I'm into probably my third or fourth draft right now, so I'm a lot of editing and scribbling and pencils and paper and that kind of stuff right now to, you know, get it ready to go out to my agent. So I'm really excited by it. It's a standalone novel, but it can be the first in a new series, which is great. So.
Oh, fun. Do you use beta readers?
I do. I send my manuscript out to two or three beta readers after I finish the first draft, and I've gotten that back from them now and looking at all their stuff and fixing things. Once that's finished, I have a friend of mine who's a published author also, and we swap manuscripts with each other. So she edits my work. I edit her work again. We both do some developmental editing. So we do that to each other's work before it goes off to our agents. And so then we do another draft after each other has looked at our work and then we do fix those mistakes or fix those things we want to correct. I shouldn't say mistakes, but things that need to be improved upon. And then it will go off to our agents, who will then ask us to fix other things as well.
Wow. You do a lot of work for your books. What would you say the percentage of research versus the actual percentage of writing is?
Well, the research can take some time. Depending on the what it is that I'm trying to research and understanding it, I would say, writing it is probably 95% of the time, and the research is 5% of the time. But I research extensively so that I completely understand what it is that I'm writing about, and then I only put in as much research that the reader needs to know, or much information the reader would need to know, because you don't want to slow down the story by dumping everything in there. So you just want to put in as much as they need to understand what's going on. Without overburdening them with all that stuff. So I may know, it's like, you know, the entire iceberg of research, they're only seeing the very tip of it in terms of what I've researched for my book. And
but
I think
you
most
may need
writers
that.
Do that.
You hold that in reserve, though. I mean, you can hang on to information perhaps to use in another book. What you've learned doesn't go away, and it's certainly not a waste. Interesting. So are you ever going to write a book that's a strict thriller without the elements of horror in it that you put in sparingly?
I probably will, yeah. I don't know if it'll be adult thriller or young adult thriller, but I would imagine so, because that is what I read and what I love to write as well.
How fun. What a fun thing you're doing. Now, what does your son think about you being a recognized known writer?
I never really asked him, so that's why I'm laughing. I don't know. To him, I'm just his mother, you know. So, I really just don't even have the answer to that question. I think younger kids are probably sometimes more impressed, but I don't know.
That's interesting to me. That's so funny. Does he not know that you are fairly well known?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but we don't talk about it. It's not something that's discussed.
Funny. I guess it's because when you grow up, that's your normal. And so why would he think anything else, right?
Yeah, I'm mom, and this is what I do. And just like people's family, they think whatever their parents do is what they do. I'm not a movie star by any means, but movie star kids, they think their parents are just their parents. You know what I'm saying? So
I guess. My brothers think I'm weird because I talk on the radio. They say, you really do talk to those people? I said, I swear to God, I've done over 2,000 author interviews. Really? And I say, yeah, really. And they say, geez, don't you want to get a real job? It's perception is everything. I suppose you're right. Very funny. We are wrapping up Women Writers Month, and I wonder if you could speak to any woman writer, who would it be?
Oh, gosh. Any woman writer. I think I talked to Jandy Nelson only because I absolutely loved that book, The Sky is Everywhere, and it's written in such a unique manner that I think it would be fascinating to talk to her about how the process in writing that book and how she came about to do it that way. And it's so unique, and yet it all comes together in such a magnificent way that I would just like really think that would be a fascinating conversation as well, to get to know her and see how she thinks.
Well, Jandy and I are talking about doing a show. Would you come on and be a guest co-host?
Oh, absolutely. I had no idea.
We were talking
really
about
no
it. So there are others who just think she's the best there is. And they love her work. And I do, too. And I think she's fascinating. So I'm really anxious. I'll let you know when it happens. Okay.
Absolutely.
Where can we find you out there in cyberspace?
I'm all over the place. I have a website. It's Janice, JaniceGable, Bashman, Bashman, .com. I am on Facebook under Janice Gable Bashman. I have an author page and a personal page. I'm on Twitter under Janice Bashman without the middle name, only because it doesn't allow for that many characters. And I'm also on Instagram under Janice Gable Bashman. So you can find me any of those places.
And do you have a newsletter or a blog sign up?
I do. On my website, there's a newsletter sign up. You can sign up there to get on my newsletter. So just enter your email address and put you on there if anybody's interested. Absolutely.
I think it's wonderful that you do all the things you do. You're quite a lady, and I'm so glad that you came on to fill me in on your life and your writing style and all. Will you come back one day, even if I don't have Jandy Nelson on?
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure, and thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you were here. Stay with me for just a second. On Monday, we're wrapping up our final three interviews. Monday, Betty Lee Crosby is coming on. She writes the most exquisite literary fiction. Her new book, Baby Girl, is number one in the genre. On Tuesday, the two crazy women, I love them both, Jill Gregory and Karen Tintori, are coming on. That'll be fun. And on Wednesday, Kendall Alexander, who's one of my favorite people of all time, will be here. And then we kick off April Fool's Day with J.D. Rhodes. That'll be a lot of fun, too. Thank you so much, Janice Gable Bashman, for being with me. All the best of luck on your new books that are coming out, and I hope that you have a lovely holy day, holiday, whichever you observe. Have a great weekend, and thank you for being on Authors on the Air.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. And thank you, everybody, for being with me. I hope you have a lovely weekend, and I'll see you later. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Good night.